Welcome back to the Lucky Girl Podcast, your go-to podcast for creating your dream life. I'm your host, Lexi Prieto, and I hope you're ready to enter your luckiest era ever. Welcome back to a part two of our last episode, Everything I Know About Love. The last episode, I had my sister and best friend on, Grace Prieto, and we decided to end off this second part. I will be doing a solo episode and just kind of finishing kind of in a lucky girl talk way. No big bullet points or anything to really talk about. Just a fun little chat to finish off this episode and to let you guys know what I know about love. First of all, housekeeping rules before we get into anything. Do you see anything different when you're listening to the podcast? That's right, guys. We have brand new cover art. I have been wanting to do a new photo shoot for the cover art for a very, very long time. The old cover art, I loved it. I loved the aspect of it. It just felt very, very cohesive to the Lucky Girl podcast. It felt like gym girly. It felt like very, very like feminine and exciting. And it even had matcha in it, which was very, very fun. However, the color scheme wasn't really what I go for with the Lucky Girl podcast, especially if you follow the Instagram. We really love pastels and pinks and, you know, very bright colors here. So I've been thinking about changing the cover art for quite some time, and now we did, and I'm absolutely obsessed with it. So if you guys like it, leave a rate and review. Tell me how much you love it, because I'm very, very proud of it. I spent a very long time editing and shooting. I took about, I want to say 600 photos to get to that one photo. And even that one photo, which I love and I feel very beautiful in, I'm so nitpicky about any photo I choose for the podcast, because this is my baby. This is my life. So if you guys like it, go ahead and let me know. But before we get fully into this episode, we're going to go ahead and get our social medias out of the way. If you want to follow the podcast Instagram, stay up to date on everything podcast. They were the first to see the new cover art. They were the first to know about all these episodes. I always let you guys know what episode is coming up so you guys can get excited, get in the right mindset. That's going to be at Lucky Girl Pod. That's Lucky Girlpod. Lucky Girl Pod. If you want to follow my personal Instagram, see all the photo shoots that I've been doing. I have been on my A game with my Instagram lately, and I'm very, very proud of it. I will say I have been off my Reels game for quite some time, so I'm trying to get back into it. But if you want to follow that, that is going to be at Lexi G Prieto. That's LexiGPrieto. I also have a YouTube channel, a TikTok, and a Pinterest that are all in the link in my bio on Instagram. So if you click my Beacons link, it'll send you to all of those links so you guys can follow on there as well. I have been spending quite an extensive amount of time trying to finish editing this vlog that was my skydiving vlog. I had finished editing it, and then I had realized that I didn't put the clip of the skydiving into the end. So I had to refilm some shots and kind of explain why I'm putting it at the end. And it was just a whole thing. And this vlog has been overdue probably for a month now, because I went skydiving last month. So it definitely has been in the works, but I'm going to finish it this week and put it out probably on Saturday. So it will already be out by the time you guys listen to this. So you have a new vlog to look forward to, hopefully. But now that we have that out of the way, I am so excited to talk about the Lucky Girl segments this week. I feel like this week has been so full of changes and growth and learning and heart, like sadness, but like excited. And it's just, I have been going through so much just in this one week. So let's start off. This week, I had a 3-day weekend, which I cannot remember the last time I've had 3 consecutive days off. It's definitely been like almost a year since I've had 3 days off, and I did not know what to do with myself, because normally I have 1 day off, I work 2 days on, another day off, and then 3 days on. And that's how my schedule goes. And that's how I prefer it, because the first day I'm off, I do everything I need to do for the background of the podcast. I write down the outline of the podcast. I edit the last week's podcast, whatever I need to do within the housekeeping of the podcast or content as a whole. That's what I do. Normally that day too, I go to a coffee shop, I glam, I get ready, and then I take some photos so day one of me being off, I get all the content that I need to distribute throughout the week. And then on my second day off, so one day off, 2 days on, and then my second day off, I record the podcast for the week. I edit whatever I need to edit, and then I'm just like good to go. And I love that. Some people think I'm crazy for not having two consecutive days off, but it makes me feel so good. It makes me feel so energetic, and it fits right for me because I can separate. It doesn't feel overwhelming to edit, plan, record all in like the span of 2 days together. It makes me feel like I have my shit together. So I'll do all the background stuff, and then I'll give myself 2 days to like go to work and just kind of think about the stuff that I'm going to talk about, and then I record on my next day off, which it just works really, really well for me. But I had three consecutive days off this week, and I genuinely was like, what am I going to do with myself? And is my bank account going to start crying with the amount of money I am spending? Because that's another thing. I am so bad at finances. When I have days off, I'm like, I deserve a little treat. And then I'll spend like $100 on something that I probably didn't need to spend $100 on. But this week I went to a mall every single day of my 3 days off. And it was different malls every time. And it was all because I was looking for one specific thing that I absolutely could have gotten online. But what's the fun of that? I was looking for a little charm for my phone case because I got a new phone case that is the Lucky Girl podcast logo. And I got it custom made, and I was like, I want a cute little like phone strap to match it. So I had this one that I had seen probably like 2 or 3 months ago that was from a store called Typo, which I don't know if Typo is all over in the US. I know we have some listeners that are not from the US. I don't know if it's all over, but it's this like, I want to say it's like a stationery store, but it has really cool things. It also has like, it has tech and stuff, and it's just the cutest store. I genuinely love that store. And they're a part of the Cotton On Foundation. So part of the proceeds go to Less Fortunate, which I really, really love. And I love supporting them. But I was looking for this phone strap that I saw months ago. And I was like, what are the odds that they have it? So day one of me being off, I go to this mall. I go into Typo, and I'm just kind of looking around. I found the phone straps. None of them was really calling my name. So I was like, oh, whatever. And it was also my first time at this mall, so I was a little overwhelmed. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to get anything today. Walked around the mall for probably like an hour. And I don't think I bought anything now that I'm thinking about it. Oh, no, I don't think I bought anything. So I was just chilling at the mall. I got a matcha. It was great. Went home. And then day two, I go to a different mall. This mall doesn't even have the store Typo. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I just need to find a phone strap. Like, I'm sure somebody has a phone strap. I'm going into every single store, looking at their accessories, hoping they have a phone strap. Phone straps were so iconic, and like everybody had them like probably like a year ago, which means I'm just incredibly late to the trend. But I was looking for the phone strap. Couldn't find a single store that had a phone strap. At that point, I was desperate. I was like, I'll get the ugliest phone strap you have as long as there's a phone strap. But the universe didn't want that. So couldn't find anything. Walked away with, I actually got a workout set. Then I went home, which by the way, that workout set is iconic, and I will get into that. And then day three, I go to a different mall. No Typo store. Couldn't find anything. Once again, walked into every single store that I thought is like trendy and could possibly have it. Did not have it. I decided to go all the way back to the first mall that I went to on my first day, all the way back, and I got the phone strap that I was like, oh, not really my vibe, because then I'm staring at it for a little while and I was like, it actually matches the phone case perfectly, way better than I could have ever imagined. So basically all this to say that I spent 3 days searching for something that I could have had on day one, but I got it. And now my phone case is super cute and I love it. And it matches not only the phone case, but my hair as well. And that brings me on to my next thing that I did this week, or I guess it was last week because we skipped a week. I dyed my hair. I am now officially a redhead. I have been dabbling with reds in my hair for probably 2 months since I started the new position in my job. And I wanted something new. I wanted to, because my hair is naturally dark, and I had promised myself, which I'm the biggest liar in the world, but I had promised myself at the beginning of this year, no more dyeing my hair, you got to let it breathe. And then obviously that didn't happen, but I dyed my hair a like auburny color 2 months ago. It kind of faded. I wasn't obsessed with the tone of the color, and I was really looking for this like purpley red that's like very dark auburn. That's what I've been searching for. And then a week ago I found it and I dyed my hair, and I have been feeling so confident. I swear on everything, my confidence has shot up tremendously because of this hair. And I've just been feeling myself, and I've been feeling more happy, and I've been feeling more outgoing, and I'm obsessed. And who would have thought that a hair color could do that to me? But honestly, it just made me feel iconic, and it made me want to step into my power a little bit more. So I dyed my hair, and the phone strap matches the hair because it's a jewel tone phone strap. So there's like purpley reds and greens, which matches the phone case. And it just, everything came together. And I was like, okay, this is iconic. I feel very, very happy with that. This week, I've also been going to the gym. I'm back in my gym princess era. I feel like I go through these spells, which is very, very natural. And if you do this too, then you are not alone. I go through these spells where I don't go to the gym for like weeks. And I get so frustrated with myself because I have the capability, I have the time, you know, I can do this, but I don't. And I get so mad at myself, and I get so hard on myself, and I'm like, Lexi, just get up and do it. And then I eventually get to a point where I literally have to sit myself down and being like, I want to do this for me because I like the way it feels when I work out. You know, it makes me feel more energized. So choose yourself, do it for you. And then I get up and I go, and the hardest part is getting to the gym the first day, and then the rest of it, you're good and you're set. And that's what I did this past week. I just stopped and looked at myself and was like, you want to go because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel energized. It makes you feel like you want to do more for yourself. It's an act of self-care and an act of self-love. So I did it, and now I genuinely cannot stop going to the gym. I literally had to force myself to not go to the gym today because I was like, if I keep on going every single day, I'm going to burn myself out. So Lexi, take a day off, record the podcast, and then tomorrow you can go back. I also found a new spin studio, which I haven't gone to yet, but I am planning on my next day off to go and be obsessed, which I'm very, very excited. And I found out that they are owned by Grit Cycle, which Grit Cycle was my cycle studio when I lived in Orange County. But I digress. So I have been back on my fitness game. I've been feeling so energized, so on top of the world, so excited to just be me and be alive and be working on myself and caring for myself. I am in a very sunshine state of mind right now. So that was my week. Moving on to my lucky girl obsessions, I have two to share with you guys. The first lucky girl obsession is, this is funny to kind of say, I always know when my head's back in the right mindset when I start making my shrimp tacos again, because I hate cooking. And if I'm not in the right mindset, if I don't feel like I have the energy, I will never cook. I will literally just go out, which is so bad for me, and bad for my bank account. But I started making, like, prepping my shrimp tacos again, which they are phenomenal. The only thing I can really cook is shrimp tacos, and I do it really damn well. So I've been prepping my shrimp tacos, and I've been obsessed. Like 2 years ago, it's been a while, like 3 or 4 years ago when I first moved out to California, I was in my first home. I started making these, and it was the beginning of my fitness journey. I was starting to prep things, and I learned how to make these shrimp tacos, and then I kind of fell off of it for like 2 years. So this is my first time getting back to making these shrimp tacos, and they are better than I ever could have imagined. I have forgotten how much I love them, but that is my first obsession. My second obsession is a couple books that I have been reading, and I think I've talked about these before, but I have been reading Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton, which is why I wanted to do this episode. I have been reading, once again, my Brianna Weiss books, 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think, and The Mountain Is You. And then I have gotten back into reading The Bell Jar, which is by Sylvia Plath, and it is such a ride. You have to be in the right mindset to read that book because it genuinely is insane, and it's a very deep book, I would say. She talks a lot about mental health, and she talks a lot about very, very deep stuff. So just be warned, the beginning of the book is not what you think it is, because in the beginning of the book, she's a model in New York and she's having the time of her life. And by the middle of the book, she is really going through it. And it's very, 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 very sad. But I've been obsessed with this. And then I have one more lucky girl obsession. I'm sorry, you guys. My third lucky girl obsession, and probably the biggest obsession of all, is chess. I have been obsessed with playing chess. My friend Cassandra taught me how to play chess, and the first time she taught me, we were in Laguna, which was such a good day. It was so fun. We were in Laguna. We stumbled across this chess board, which I think I've actually talked about this on the podcast already, but we stumbled across this chess board and we play chess until it gets dark. She beats me, obviously. But she tells me what everything is, right? So now I'm intrigued because I never thought that I would be able to learn chess. I thought it was such a hard game to learn. I thought it was like very complicated, which it's not. Everybody is lying to you. Chess is so easy. From then, I was so intrigued. I downloaded a chess app on my phone and I have been playing chess every single day. And then she had given me a chess board a couple days ago as a gift. So she was like, so you can learn. And now we have a chess board for whenever we play. So it's been super fun to learn chess. And it is like a very mental based game. So you're really using your brain, you're using logic. And I think it's really fun to work my brain in that way. So step right up, the next chess prodigy over here. I'm going to be so good. But with that being said, let's get into the very last segment before we hop into part two of this episode. What has made me feel lucky this week? What has genuinely made me feel the most lucky this week is, I would say, my confidence. I have been feeling very, very productive. I have been feeling like, which I've talked about this on the podcast, that I struggle with. I struggle with my confidence sometimes, or in the past, I've struggled with my confidence, I would say, and feeling incapable, feeling like I don't belong here, imposter syndrome. I feel like these past couple of months, I've really stepped into myself and I've reminded myself that, like, if I wasn't meant for this, I would never have this dream. You know, if I wasn't meant to do this, it wouldn't have been planted in my mind that it was possible and everything's possible. And I think I've had this mindset, especially in this last week, it's really, really clicked, of that every opportunity that comes my way, it comes to me because I am worthy of it. And it comes to me because I am able to use it as a stepping stool to better myself, to get to where I want to go, to reach my dream life, which is exactly what this entire podcast is about. So I have been really focusing on that, and it has felt so fun and so good. And it's genuinely, it wasn't even my hair that made me confident. It was this mindset that went with it, that when I dyed my hair, it just kind of clicked that I was like, oh, I really am that lucky girl. I really am that girl that can reach her dream life. I am the girl who I'm meant to be. And I am deserving of everything that I have right now. I am so deserving of it, because at the end of the day, I am a human that is learning and trying to be the best version of myself that I can be. And that is all I can do. You know, if I mess up, if I make mistakes, I have to give myself grace for that, because at the end of the day, the only purpose in my life is to just try to be the best version I can be. And that keyword is try. You know, sometimes I'm going to stumble. Sometimes I'm going to mess up. We've talked about this on the podcast before. Sometimes you're going to be the villain in someone else's story, and that sucks and it hurts. And you get so frustrated with yourself. And then you realize you're just trying. You are trying to be the best version of yourself that you can be. So that's what has made me feel so lucky this week. It is genuinely just, it's been so fun. But moving on from the lucky girl segments, it is time to get into this episode. So I want to welcome you to episode 45, part two, Everything I Know About Love. So when I was talking to Gracie, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, we talked a lot about what we felt was love as children, what we saw as love as children. And a little bit of backstory for Gracie and I: we are the youngest sisters of five, and we were raised by a single dad. And Gracie and I were both talking about the love we felt as kids came from strangers who didn't have to do it. It was just out of pure kindness that we felt love. We felt love in our teachers. We talked about growing up incredibly poor, and we felt love with our teachers playing Santa for us every single year and us not even knowing it, and them getting us the Christmas presents because our dad couldn't afford it, and getting us art supplies so we can connect with each other. And we went into detail with that in last week's episode, which was a really fun episode, and I think you guys would like it so much. But we talked about how when we felt love, it was within these people who didn't have to do anything for us. It was so selfless. And that was the beginning of what love meant to us. That first key word was selfless. Love is selfless. When you love, there's nothing that you want in return. You love because you get to. And that is what I've been learning these past couple weeks in 101 Essays by Brianna Weiss. She was talking about love, and I had bookmarked every single chapter in this book about love because I was going through it, guys, and I was trying to understand what love is. I am not very well versed in like romantic love. I feel as though I really focus on self-love, and it's very, very rare that I want to be in a relationship. So prior to experiences, like past experience, whatever, after all of the experiences I went through, I wanted to learn more about what love meant to people. So I was reading 101 Essays, and she was talking about how an issue that she sees in herself a lot is that she sees love as a transaction sometimes. And that's so invaluable to, it just devalues her love, because if her love has a limit, if her love has a price, if it's almost monetary, then that's just, it's lessening what love really is. It's lessening how amazing her love is. And I really absolutely found solace in that, because I think that I've also struggled with thinking that love was something that that could be bargained for, that you had to like put a price on. And within a last relationship that I had, I felt so embarrassed and so like, I just was so angry at myself that I loved them more than they loved me. And that's so, now that I'm looking back on it, I was like, that's such a crazy thing to be embarrassed about. Because the only truth that you can say in that situation was that I loved. And I think that's so beautiful that I have the capability to love. It's not about who loved who more. And like, it's not about the thing that I think as humans that we always, always, always fall prey to is being embarrassed when you realize that you like something more than someone else, because then it's like, oh my God, like this is embarrassing, like whatever. But the truth is, especially when it comes to love, the only truth that you have in that situation, it's not that they didn't love you enough. It's that you loved, period. And that's so beautiful that you have the capability to love. And I was writing in my journal about this after I read that essay, because I was so intrigued with what she said. Let me find what exactly she said. Okay, so this is in her essay 26, The One Question to Ask Yourself If You're Tired of Fighting for Someone's Love. I was very, very intrigued by the topic, so I was reading it, and this is what I underlined. She had started by saying, we talk about love in this book a lot. We talk about how to land yourself a date, find a boyfriend, whatever, like we talk about it. And then she says, we talk about getting love as though it's a precursor to giving it, as though giving if we aren't receiving makes us weak, as though no respectable person would keep being kind and loving to somebody who didn't love them back, as though being loving is being devoted rather than being strong and honest and true and sometimes walking away. So this is a part that I had underlined. She said, you cannot convince someone to love you if they don't. This, above most else, is a rule. Love is not something you get, and she put quotes on get. She said, it is not something someone else has and you must earn. It is not something that exists outside of you. When someone doesn't want to express affection and love and respect to you, you have two choices. You can try to change that fact, in quotations, and keep yourself stuck, or you can keep giving love, which will let you move on. Which I thought was very, very beautiful. And when she had said, don't think that it exists outside of you, it made me realize how beautiful that is, that being in love with somebody, whether it's platonically or romantically, it exists inside of you. Love is who you are. Love is what you have to give. Not even what you have to give, is what you exude. It is not a currency. It is not something that can be bartered or worked for. And I love reading you guys my journal entries. It just feels very, very personal. So I wanted to read the journal entry that coincided with this essay, because when I had read this essay, I immediately started journaling about it because I was so intrigued. So I wanted to say, I was talking about 101 essays in this journal entry. I said, I've been really obsessed with what I'm learning. I said, I flagged the chapters about love and I've been reading those. Get this. She wrote, quote, love is not something you get. I've been really thinking about this. She says, love is not something that can be given. It is an experience. And I really like that. Whenever I spend too much time thinking of love as a currency, I see the imbalance of my past experiences, which isn't fair to me. In every love affair, the most beautiful part of it all was how much I loved. My love made me the most beautiful girl in the world. I mean, my love was so powerful as to make someone want to try their hand at their passion again. It has made someone feel safe and worry-free. My love has made people want to grow into better versions of themselves. I think this shift from thinking of love as something that is that one can earn, barter, or beg for, into love being a state of living has really started to alter me. It makes me feel more healed than I have in months. With this shift, I am also learning to forgive myself for the times I didn't lead with love, for the times I acted as if I lost something and felt the need to fill it with rage instead. I thought I had to change the script in order to feel less, quote, stupid, because I did feel stupid for loving somebody the way I did and, quote, not getting anything out of it. But that makes my love feel so much less valuable than it is. It raises the question, did I love someone because I couldn't help it? Or did I love someone because I wanted to be loved? And that is a very hard thing to realize. So with that, I was kind of just talking about how love is not a currency. And that is what I wanted to talk about in this episode, of everything I know about love, what I've learned about love. And this is one of the main things that I have learned about love, is that you cannot expect anything in return. Sure, when there's an imbalance, you will always notice it. And sometimes love is walking away. Love is realizing that you are deserving of more. And that is when you know to walk away. But you cannot only give love when you want something in return. You know, love is not a currency. So with that journal entry that I was talking about, when you realize that love is a way of living, it's an experience within yourself, it really comes into question of how you love people and why you love people. And in past experiences, it made me think, did I love that person because I just truly wanted to? Or did I love that person because I was desperate for love and I wanted that love in return? And I thought that if I gave them love, then they would give it back to me. And I was thinking very deeply about that. And once I came to terms that it was possibly the latter, it really helped me heal. It made me realize that maybe the reason things hurt for so long is because you didn't get what you wanted. And that makes you upset, because it makes you almost petulant, because you wanted something and you thought that this was your way to get it. And then when you didn't get in return, it A, made me feel embarrassed, and it B, made me feel like, oh dang, like I didn't get it and that sucked. But then you realize that I love freely and my love has no price point to it. I love because I want to. And something that I take great, great, great pride in is the way in which people have come to me my entire life and told me that I am sunshine, told me that I am a bright light in this universe. And I've talked about this a lot because it is genuinely the peak of who I am that makes me feel so good, is my brightness, is my light. And that light comes from just loving freely, having no strings attached to this love. And that is really everything that I know about love. And we are talking about it not being a currency. There's also no strings attached to it. When you love freely and you stop thinking of love as something that you have to take away if you're not getting, you start thinking of it as it's just who you are. You just love, and stop being embarrassed when you don't get it in return, and start taking that as a sign that you can continue to love freely, just love freely elsewhere. I think that's really, really beautiful to come to terms with. So I wrote down, this is kind of a funny little bit, but I wrote down how to love when you feel unlovable. And I wrote down 7 steps, and they're kind of funny, so I like them. But with this new way of thinking about my love, I genuinely have changed the way I've thought about a lot of my past experiences, because I was very woe is me, so sad, and it's like, oh, like I can't find love, whatever, which I think is very normal. And I think everybody, especially in your early 20s, goes through it of being like, am I ever going to find love? But it made me realize that with my love being so free, and I've talked to my friends about this before, I think that there is not a single person in my life or in my past that has ever done anything that couldn't be reconciled. That if they came to me, it was like, hey, like, I really need you right now, I need someone to talk to, that I would say no, you know, because I think at the end of the day, my love is free. And I do think there's a fine line between keeping your love and like loving freely and letting somebody abuse that love. But I genuinely don't think that there is a single person in my life that if they came to me right now, is like, hey, I'm really struggling with something and I need to talk to you, that I would tell them no. So I think having that knowledge that my love is available to anybody, and I mean that like even to the extent of like my mother, if my mother were to like come to me, which I've talked about my relationship with my mom a lot. But if my mother were to come to me and was like, hey, like I'm in a very bad mental health space and I really need to talk to somebody, I would be there to listen. There is not a single person in my life that has ever done anything to me that warrants me to take that love away. And I was thinking about this on the drive home yesterday of like, you might no longer have a seat at my table, but you will always have a spot in my heart, no matter what. Even if you break my heart, even if like you are a reason for so much change in my life and like I was hurt because of you, there is not a single person in my past or in my current life that is undeserving of love. Every single person. Because the reason I connect with these people to begin with is because I feel they're worthy of love. I feel that they're worthy of a friendship. And I just think no matter what somebody does, they're absolutely capable of that. So being generous with my love is something that I'm also learning to experience and learning to not be afraid of and not be embarrassed of that I love so freely. Because in this day and age, people talk about how like, fool me once, you're done. And it's always been that type of way. And me being an Aries woman, people always say like, oh, you do not act like an Aries, because typical Aries are fiery and one shot and you're out. And I think that that is very unfair to your love if you think that people are undeserving of your love, you know, which this is to an extent as well, you know, and this is just me personally. I don't think anybody has ever done anything to be unworthy of my love. Even if they've hurt me, I think my love is very, very free, and my love is to anybody who needs it. I am always there to listen. But there is an extent, and there is a time where you have to set a boundary of being like, I am there for you, but from a distance. And I think that's a very, very important thing to realize. But let's talk about how to love when you feel unlovable. So step one, feel unworthy. So step one, you feel unlovable. You feel like, hey, I am not worthy of this love. And this happens when you feel like there's an imbalance. This happens when you think that this person is not right for you. This person is at a higher pedestal than you. Step two, be jealous of those who accept love easily. Be so freaking upset of people that have been together for 5, 6, 7 years, and be bitter and be upset and be angry and be like, I am so jealous of people who just love easily. Step three, feel wildly uncomfortable when you realize that someone loves you. You spent your whole life feeling unlovable, unworthy, and then someone loves you like it's breathing, and you're like, what in the world is this? This is uncomfortable. Step four, self-sabotage. You go back and forth. Like, you put out all the stops, even if it's subconsciously, you do all the things you can do to make that person not love you anymore. Step five, realize that the people who love you aren't going anywhere. You can self-sabotage all you want. The people that are meant to be in your life, the people that really, truly love you, are sticking by you and helping you grow. And I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, about how important friendships are and how important communicating in friendships are. And this was one of the things we were talking about, that you have to realize that the people that are meant to stay in your life, no matter what happens, they're going to stay in your life. That moves us on to step six, have an epiphany, and realize that you are worthy of the same love that you give so freely. This was a very, 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 very hard thing for me to get because I actually have a sticker on my Stanley cup, which it's in a vlog when I got the sticker, but it says, "You deserve the happiness that you give to others so freely." And I love that because I have spent my entire life thinking that love, thinking that happiness had a price, thinking that I would, and this was very subconscious, I think, that I would be like, oh my God, I always love more than they love me. I'm always wishing better than I wish for myself. And you realize, you have this epiphany that you are so worthy of that same love, that same happiness that you wish for others. I was writing in a journal entry yesterday, actually, about how I wish the absolute best on everyone I've ever met, whether they hurt me, whether they broke my heart, whatever it is. Once again, going back to the thing of like, nothing that anybody has ever done has been bad enough that they don't deserve my love anymore, even if it's just from a distance. I was talking about that in way of like wishing people well. And I was journaling about a specific person, and I was just saying like, I genuinely hope that they get absolutely everything that they've ever wanted, that they have an amazing life, that life is easy, that life is gentle for them. And I spent so long being angry at them that when I finally had this epiphany and this growth of like, there's no reason to be angry because the only person that's feeling this anger is myself. And I let it go. And I realized that like, genuinely, I just want what's best for them. I want them to be happy. I want them to have absolutely everything they've ever wanted in this life. When I realized that, it really clicked into me. And that put me into step 7, which is accept it. Accept that you are not unlovable. Accept that you are worthy of absolutely everything. Everything good that this life has to offer. You are worthy of it. Why? Why do you think that you're worthy of it? And the simple answer is because you are human. And every single human is worthy of love. We all start out the most innocent. We all start out with a blank slate. And, you know, as we grow up, this blank slate, it gets tainted. We mess up. We make mistakes. We struggle with things. But I genuinely think to an extent, I think that everybody has the capability to change and become a better person. And especially if it's somebody who you know is actively working towards becoming a better person. And spoiler alert, if you are listening to this podcast, you are one of those people. Somebody who genuinely is working towards becoming a better person. You deserve everything you've wanted in life. You deserve the happiness. You deserve that love. And if you feel like you are not getting it from the people in your life, then you must give it to yourself. You must be the source. You must be the sunshine. You must genuinely be the thing that makes your life worthy of living. You have to choose yourself. And I promise you, when you step into your power, when you find out that you are the ultimate source of light in your life, you are the sun and everything else revolves around that. When you figure that out, I promise you, and I say this with my chest, I promise you that the right people will come into your life. And that's the thing about sunshine. It attracts the right people because people love sunshine and people love, you know, we talk about a lot as kids of like when it's sunny outside and it's summer and people just want to be out in the sun, the right people will find you. And you know, sometimes flies and sometimes bugs get attracted to the light too. And you're going to have to work through, figure out who's right for you and who's wrong for you. But the right people will come, I promise you. I absolutely guarantee it. So I want to move on to this very quick everything that I know about love quick run, because I wrote down all these things that I think is so important to knowing about love. So the first thing I said is love does not exist in economical practices, which means the belief that love is not a barter, which is exactly what we've talked about this entire episode. There is no currency to love. You should be giving love freely. You should be paying attention to when somebody abuses that love. But that just means that doesn't mean you just stop love. That means you redirect it and you find somewhere new to give love. But you cannot let somebody ruin you. You cannot let someone make you never want to love again, because that is unfair to you. And that is a disservice to the world who would love your love, who would cherish your love And if you let somebody just alter you and never want to love again, then you are really just, you're not helping the world. And I think that once you give love, that absolutely makes you realize that just because that one person abused it doesn't mean that everybody will. That moves us into number two. Listen to your friends when they say he's a scumbag. I thought that was so funny because this is something that I know about love as well, is that you will catch flies. You will catch people that are not meant for you, that will abuse your love. But listen to the people that do love you when they tell you that he is not right for you, because they know you and they love you. Number three, love exists in more than just human experiences. I thought that this was so beautiful when I wrote this, because we think a lot about love being a human interaction. It's human to human. That is how we love. But there is so much more to that. I love the flowers on my nightstand. I love the letter that my sister wrote to me. I love the sun. I love the moon. I love the birds. I love the stream. There's so much that I love that is not human. I love my journal. I love waking up in the morning to, you know, sunlight streaming just right. I love my crystals. I love my tarot cards. And it just goes on and on and on. I love my stuffed animals. It just keeps on going. There is so much to love that is more than just human. And love exists in more than just human experiences. And I think that's genuinely so beautiful to realize that even if you don't feel capable in this moment of giving love to a human, and you are going through this healing journey and you're like, I just don't want to give love to anybody else. A, give love to yourself. B, give love to the world. Give love to the trees. Give love to the grass. Put your feet on some grass. Go to the beach. Give love to the beach. Give love to the moon. Give love to the stars. Give love to the sun. Just keep on giving love, because eventually you will get to the point where you feel capable of giving love to a human. And that moves us into the next one. Number four, hurt is the road closed sign straying you away from danger. Within love, there also comes hurt. They have to go hand in hand sometimes. But when you go through that hurt, it is the road closed sign that strays you away from danger. If that sign wasn't there, you'd go right into, you know, the edge of a cliff. But you have those signs, you have those protections, and that is what hurt is. Hurt makes you stop. Hurt makes you reevaluate. And you know, the thing about a road closed sign is if you're not paying attention, if you want to self-sabotage anyways, you can go right past it, but you're going to get hurt. You are going to absolutely mess something up. So hurt is the thing that makes you stop and think, hey, why am I hurting right now? Do I need a redirect? And that is what love is being aware of every single sign. That moves us into number five, never, ever let bad make you bad. And that is such a big thing that I am constantly, constantly, constantly learning, because I have grown up being a people pleaser that I'm working past, but I still have this tendency sometimes to mirror people's energy. And if I'm around somebody who is very toxic, if I'm around somebody who has bad energy, I find myself acting like that. And I hate that. And I have altered who I am so many times in the name of wanting love. That is just such a disservice to myself, who my authentic love is as beautiful as it gets, that I am trying to alter myself to match up with somebody. That's not fair. I love my love. My love is so important. Number six, being bitter sours your life. Oh my God, guys, if I'm not a testament to this, being bitter sours your life. I have never felt more bitter than I did in my past relationship when it ended. And I talked about it a little bit in the beginning of this episode, that I was bitter because there was an imbalance of love. And at that point, I thought of love as a currency. So I thought, I think about it in monetary value. I spent, this is all like imaginary, I spent millions of dollars and I got nothing back. I thought it was something that I had to invest in, that I had to put a profit in and hope I get it back. And then it's like gambling and you got nothing in return. That's not what love is. And being bitter does nothing for anybody. They don't care. The only person that is aware that you are bitter is yourself, and you are genuinely just ruining your life. You are genuinely just taking away from opportunities that could have presented themselves. Because basically when you're bitter, you just close yourself off to so many things. And that moves us into number seven. You are whole as yourself. Everyone else is an added bonus. This is my big time advice that I give absolutely everybody. You are complete. You do not need anybody else. Everybody else is an added bonus that you should love and be happy with. But once you realize that you are the most important thing in your life, you are the sun in your solar system, that is when you realize that everybody else is something special, but is not absolutely needed. Number 8, if you can't bring yourself to wish them well, wish them to grow instead. And this is something that I've genuinely worked on. When I was still hurt, when I was still angry, I would speak out of anger sometimes, especially when I was around my best friend. And I would be like, this is the funniest thing, which is so bad of wishing them bad. But the funniest thing that I would always say is like, I wish they stubbed their toe on every piece of furniture they ever walk by, which is funny. But I had stubbed my toe recently and I was like, oh, just kidding, because that is actually treacherous. But I had come to the realization that if I can't wish them well, if I don't have it in me to wish them well, and not to quote Taylor Swift, but she has a song where she says, I didn't have it in me to go with grace. And that is exactly how I felt with some experiences that I've had in the past. I didn't have it in me to go with grace. So I wish you to grow instead. Now I'm at the point where I genuinely, everybody in my past, I do wish them well. I wish they get everything they've ever wanted. And I wish their life is easy. And I wish their mind is gentle to them. But that is, if you feel like you're still in the phase of being angry or being hurt, wish them to grow rather than wishing them ill. Just wish them to become better, because I promise you that is so much better than wishing them ill and wishing bad things to happen to them, because at the end of the day, karma is so real and stubbing my toe hurt more than anything in my entire life. Moving on to number 9. A good playlist is the ultimate love language. I am so guilty of creating a playlist for anyone I care about. And if anybody ever asks for a playlist, I will create it. And I think that is the ultimate love language, because music is love. And that is what I know about love. And that moves us into the very last one. Number 10, our lives are meant to be comprised of love stories. Let yourself experience it. Things are going to take time. When you go through heartbreak, when you go through hard times, of course, they're going to feel like you need to stop and process. And absolutely. But I want to remind you that your life is meant to be comprised of love stories. Once again, they don't have to be human experiences. They can be love stories, a love affair, you and the sun, a love affair of you and the ocean. Whatever it is, let your life be so full of love stories. When you look back, when you're 70, 80, you should be able to look back and realize that the key word in your life was love, that you gave love so freely. And in return, you receive love from humans, from experiences, from nature. You got it back. You experienced it. You experienced it in the stranger that complimented you that one time. You experienced it at a coffee shop when they got your order just right and you loved the matcha. Whatever it is, look for love in everything, because I promise you, it is there. With that being said, that is the end of this episode. This two-part series was actually very, very fun to make and very fun to talk about. I love talking about love because I love love, and I think that love is just a very, very big part of my life. But I want to thank you so much for not only listening to this episode, but being a part of the Lucky Girl family and always sharing the Lucky Girl podcast with everybody. It's just the coolest thing to know that we have Lucky Girl family from all over the world. Shout out to my London and UK Lucky Girls. You guys have been showing out in the analytics. You guys have been sharing it with your friends, and you guys keep on getting bigger and bigger. But I love all of you guys. I'm so, so grateful that you take the time to listen to my voice, listen to the podcast, and grow and become the luckiest version of yourself. I love you. Make sure you're leaving a 5-star rate and review on this podcast and sharing it with all your friends. My Lucky Girl challenge for this week is I want you to post your favorite episode on your social media and make sure to tag the Lucky Girl Pod. Post your favorite episode. Tell them how much you love this episode, and let's get more lucky girls into this family. Have the best week ever. I will see you next Sunday. I pinky promise for a brand new episode of the Lucky Girl podcast. Have the best day, and remember to always, always, always stay lucky.